are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Sweet Terminator.
I'm sure he'd love to hear that.
Oh, just don't. He could revive the franchise.
I kept thinking when watching this movie of like Dustin Hoffman suddenly like at Vegas freaking out and beating the shit out of him.
You know? It's like I'm just thinking, come with me if you want to tabulate.
I'm just kind of happy that Ben Affleck has replaced Matt Damon as the premier American action.
There's no replace. Ooh. They are complimentary. You know, watching this movie.
After Jason Bourne?
Did fall flat on his face this year.
Watching this movie, I really want like a modern take on Magnificent Seven. With the accountant, so Ben Affleck, Jason Bourne,
John Wick,
the Equalizer, Liam Neeson, Colombiana, so there's a woman, and that's just seven.
So let's throw in the BMW driver.
I can't remember. Like I'm trying to think of a female led revenge movie, and I couldn't find one besides Colombiana in my head.
A Kill Bill.
Yeah, The Bride. And that's your Magnificent Seven. They go up against Falcone from Batman Begins, and he has robbed this place.
Wait, Falcone? Really?
Off the top of my head. Off the top of my head.
That's the best villain.
He was a pretty good villain.
He was a good villain.
He's
like,
a good start.
Well, you don't know anything about
Batman villains? Who goes... Falcone.
I tell you why. The scene where he's in the slums and Bruce Wayne goes talks to Falcone, and he's like, "Don't come down here with your anger. You don't know anything about desperate." Like that was so raw. It was like Closer, where Clive Owen's talking to Jude Law, and he's like, "What do you know about love? A heart's a fucking clenched fist of blood."
So apparently we're going to talk about every other action film made.
I thought we brought it full circle coming back to Batman with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, because
I love whenever a villain puts that shit right back in the hero's face and goes, "Fuck you, I don't care. You suck, and I'm a villain, so fuck off."
That's not really the case here in The Accountant, where the villain is the least important thing in this film. Because it's not really about the villain.
But it's very smart.
It's not really about the villains at all. This is almost, it's almost a character think piece that just so happens to be a badass action movie as well.
Yep.
You know, which is... That works for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to see Soderbergh try and do another action film like this. You know, it seems like almost Soderberghian at points.
Should have got the person from Haywire. That could be the other person.
You've got a Gavin O'Connor here who really surprised everyone with his action film Warrior a few years back.
I don't know if you got a chance
to see that, but damn, it's solid. Coming back with this one, with getting Ben Affleck to play Christian Wolf, or at least that's one of his names.
Math Batman.
And
Who is a high-functioning autistic who is also a top-level CPA, but for bad guys. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the guy that, like, people were like, "Oh, shit, I'm missing $60 million, but I can't exactly I can't go to HR Block to deal with it because it's all through Coke, so I need somebody who can do this for me." He's the guy who does that. But he's also a guy who is a... one of, you know, just this incredibly highly trained warrior, basically, both with weapons and hand-to-hand combat.
It's like death.
And you're like, that's silly, right? But the movie makes it so not silly and plausible by, as it goes along, a series of flashbacks that show how this guy grew up.
Yeah.
I would imagine would be impossible to do any other way, because with him playing this autistic man who's just very soft-spoken and he's very, like doesn't have a lot to say.
Like the Terminator.
Yeah. It's like you've got to get to know him and feel like you really know him. You have to see how he got this way. And that part of this film, I thought, is pretty much just as entertaining as the modern-day stuff.
To a point, I would say. I think, you know, not to get in the negative stuff already, but I thought that in the third act it kind of stumbled a little bit, and it was a little too exposition-heavy. For the most part, like, from the first two-thirds as we learn more about him, and by the way, Ben Affleck does a fantastic job in this, and anyone who keeps saying he's a terrible actor,
they don't know what they're talking
about. Just look at this. I mean,
yeah, you're like, what are you?
Come on,
did your brain shut down in 1987? What like, the? Yeah. And you haven't remembered anything since then?
It's like, I know he was in Reindeer Games, and I know he was in Geely, but God, watch Argo, Watch The Town. Watch this movie. Watch watch the parts of Superman versus Batman where that he's in.
Well, let's not get carried away.
he's a good Batman.
Yeah, he's certainly a good murder man. George Clooney.
Yeah. Yes. You give him that. But
I think he's a better Batman than Bale. A pure Batman?
I bet he'd make a better Terminator than Christian Bale.
Oh, you and your Terminator.
I don't know about that, because like Christian Batman Bale would like
Terminator.
He would like graft metal onto his skin to become the Terminator.
All right, this movie.
But
this movie.
Yeah. But like, as I was saying,
they both played autistic people.
What?
Bale played that, wasn't he autistic in
The Machinist?
No. Fighter? The finance movie that came out last year,
The Big Short.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Which one? They're both
finance
Batman.
Autistic people, except Christian Bale can't throw a punch in that movie.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas Batman specifically can. Mm-hmm. So,
and much like Batman, I mean that's the thing. Ben Affleck, he acts very well in this. The action scenes that he's in are great. And yeah, like I said, the only times where I thought the movie slowed down from where he wasn't kind of like that third act. We got to know, I think, too much about his past. Whereas, like, you could have made this like a, you know, save it for the sequel, almost.
I kind of felt that the story was taking us in one direction, and we kind of expected to have this, you know, Scooby-Doo moment where they rip the mask off the bad guy, and he gets a couple headshots off on him. But the movie doesn't really go there.
No.
It goes in a totally different direction.
In fact, it's those defied expectations is what I think I enjoyed the most about this, that I kept expecting it to fall into more traditional action movie cliches, and it would just dodge past them. Like when it had like a thing where the plot has him where he takes a more conventional job working for a robotics company run by John Lithgow, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, well, something's wrong with the books. They're like his contact who we never really meet, just a voice on the phone is like, you need to take this because there's already too much heat, maybe. And he meets Anna Kendrick, who's like a very nerdy, self-conscious.
Anna Kendrick.
She's probably actually herself a little bit on the autistic scale, this character, but not anywhere near as much as he is.
No.
And she's like, was the previous account or note as a disparaging thing. And you're like, okay, they actually are making this big point of showing they have this human connection. And you think this film is going to go the way of like, oh, now it's going to be him protecting her and this team up and him having a more of a level of humanity through
like
her.
Like a Ben Affleck movie in the 90s.
But that's not really what the goal
like paycheck.
Is. I mean, she serves her purpose in the film to definitely put himself in the situation where she's the fulcrum to get him to where he needs to be for the third act. No question.
She is the catalyst.
But it doesn't turn into a buddy-buddy thing or anything like that, or a supporting the screaming female thing either, because really this film is super about Ben Affleck's character and who he is, as well as like I liked a lot. And you said you didn't like the third act stuff. I really liked.
I didn't like some of the exposition stuff.
When it suddenly went, oh, you know how J.K. Simmons and Cynthia Adair Robinson have been playing two cops in this whole thing, Treasury Department, who are just barely in the film, just having this tiniest bit of an idea of maybe who the mysterious accountant actually is.
Framing device and exposition.
You're like,
characters.
Why are these guys even here? That exposition, I assume you're talking about, is where it's like suddenly they go, well, maybe we should tell you more about these people and who they are. And I liked that. I thought it was weird it wasn't more split up over the whole
thing. That's the thing. Yeah. Had it been kind of spread out more evenly and getting to know the mystery a little better, instead of just like, oh, we got to explain everything right now. So
I think, too, that's our open to, if they wanted to make a sequel or turn this into a bigger universe.
Yeah.
I think those cops are kind of the
Totally their Boondock Saints like twist, where it's just kind of like, oh, okay, we've got that by knowing more about them and their story. It really is like with what happens in that, it's a necessary third arc twist.
Yeah,
that has to come in to open up your perception of wow, what's really going on here. But that's why I liked it.
Sure.
And also it didn't leave you with like, yeah, but we don't even know anything about those characters because now we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I tell you, like, I really really like this movie, but I want to make sure that it does. It greatly benefits from having low expectations walking in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not nearly as good as like John Wick.
It's not.
So I just want to make clear that if people are going into the movie expecting John Wick, that's not what it is.
Mm-mm.
It is more about the characters, and the action is incidental to telling the character's story. It's the sugar that helps the medicine go down, because if you sat there watching an hour and a half of a movie of an accountant with autism doing work, you're not going to be as excited as, they're going to shoot people.
It's pretty much just Elliot's life.
Hey. don't say true shit.
except although, you have a bunch of geeky shit on.
Although, I'll tell you, I don't have any of that diagnosis, but I did recognize a few things. Like, there are times, man, you get deep into something, and I've noticed this about a bunch of people that I work with. You get fucking bothered when you can't finish shit.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, don't work on it. It's like, fuck you.
It's an OCD coming.
This shit is going to fucking finish.
Or like when your boss comes to you before you're done and is like, oh, no, you're done with this.
It's like, I'm not fucking done.
What? No, this means nothing to you.
Yeah, I must not be on the autistic scale because I'm just like, woo. Thank God. I'm so tired of this shit.
There's a part in the movie where he's figuring this shit out and he goes, oh, don't finish. That drove me crazy. I was like, fuck you. I'm finishing this shit. he was up all night going through 15 years of books.
Yeah.
And finally found it. And it's like, no, don't worry about it.
First time we see him smile in the movie and then they go and start erasing his numbers.
I really think that if they had just let him finish, because the plot of this movie revolves around this company, Living Robotics, after they introduce the character, calls him in to look at the books because they think they're missing money and they want to know why, but
Didn't I already say this?
Mm-mm.
Pretty sure I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I don't know if you called him by name, but like because John Lithgow's company is Living Robotics. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where we kind of are introduced to the character.
Sorry, I don't mean to.
No, I was trying to help. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, so like they call him in and he's going through the books and he finds 50, and at a certain point, damn it, I forgot what I was going to say. He's going through all the...
Sorry, I threw you off.
Yeah.
I ruined it. I ruined it. Now you can't finish. Are you frustrated?
I am frustrated.
One of the things I actually really appreciate about the film is its sense of humor. And where it kind of starts off really serious. I mean, first
of
all, you're dealing with, autism and Asperger's syndrome. And that's a very serious subject. And I thought I don't know too much about autism, but I thought they handled that well.
Very respectfully.
At the same time, they made Ben Affleck's character very charming and relatable, and even though you're kind of introduced to his various kind of quirks and things like that, which may be off-putting, they never I never felt like they were mocking people with autism, which I think is very important to point out with this.
Very key to this film. I mean, I think it's as much as it's a character piece and a strong action film, it's also a call to waking up about, there's a whole beautiful thing towards the end of the film where they're like, there's nothing wrong with autistic people. They're just different. The problem is we're still learning how to talk to them and showing that, they have advantages over us a lot of the time.
Superpowers.
I actually listened to a great podcast about that recently where they were saying, look, this list of world geniuses that were severely autistic. And it was like, we couldn't have done that shit. I hate to tell you, but that was connected to the autism, that they were capable of putting stuff together like that.
Asperger actually lived in Nazi Germany and he told Hitler, hey, these kids could be code breakers.
Yeah.
Nah, they're weirdos. Let's get rid of them. Yeah. And then how did we win the war? We broke Hitler.
Ask Dr. Strange.
Yeah.
Dr. Strange and Love Actually know.
Jesus. You're just going to call actors by the movies they were in.
What he was doing the entire time.
I call Keira Knightley Love Actually because she's in that new movie, Collateral Beauty, playing fucking Love. And you can't tell me some casting director didn't go, we could Keira Knightley, she'd be Love Actually.
Yeah, during the discussion, they're like, Love Actually?
Like, that's going to be a thing. And then most of us are like, you jokers must be crazy.
One thing I want to address is you said you don't think this is as good as John Wick. I don't agree. It's just very different than John Wick. John Wick is not a thinking man's film. It's a very streamlined, very, know-how-to-make-an-action-film film with no fat, straightforward movie that anybody can enjoy if you like that sort of film.
Yeah.
This is definitely trying to make a completely different type of movie. It's nowhere near as much action as that film, but when there is action, it is kind of at a John Wick level quality.
No, the action's at the same quality, but then when it tries to be that different movie, it's getting extra points because it did have that action because it's two on the nose in the third act. The third act, some things come together that they telegraph a little too much. And then there's a twist at the very last scene that is a little too cute by half. It pushes the story from a character study to, we just wanted this to be cute.
Oh man, I can't agree at all. I thought it was needed, those moments.
No, I'm talking about the very last scene where they make that big reveal, and I'm just like, I see what you're doing, but I wish you would have just left that one thing. It's like that, when you're in law school, they always teach you, it's the same thing. Like, if you watch A Few Good Men, there's a question when you're doing cross-examination that you shouldn't ask. There's that, you know, if you're like, did you order the Code Red? You should never ask that because you want everybody to just come to that on their own. This did the same thing. It's like there's a plot point that just went one step too far for me and made the movie as a whole a little bit less because it felt like they didn't respect the audience as much as they should have.
No, I totally disagree.
Oh, actually, can I comment on that? Because I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a moment because early on I kind of got where they were going with that. And then there was a moment where I look over the person next to me. She's making this noise like, and I just look like, don't tell me you're now just getting this. Please, please.
Yeah, I didn't even been along the whole time.
But once again, I argue, just because you figure out something early doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
Like I figured out the Sixth Sense thing super early in that movie and got a punch in the jaw for saying it to my date. But I didn't even affect that movie for me one way or the other because it was a good movie and it made sense. I feel the same way about this one. Yeah, I figured it out early too, but it made perfect sense. It fit absolutely in everything we'd seen. And in fact, if it hadn't happened, the movie wouldn't have worked because with everything else we'd seen, you would have gone, well, what the fuck was with that then? If that hadn't happened. Yeah, but you don't make a movie that way unless you're Marvel.
I am sort of spoiled by the cinematic universe. The movie
has to be self-contained.
I think two things. One is that had they not chosen to do that, what we're all talking about, but we're not actually...
Well, there are two of them.
But the thing is that then it would have been just a predictable action film. It's like he
No.
But, I mean, this is just my old thoughts. Yeah. But then, two, I agree with you. I think to a certain extent where... I think that relationship will continue on into another movie, which I hopefully that this will become a series. I think
it is that thing and the nature of it that makes you go, damn, I totally want to see another movie after this. Yeah. I think without that, you wouldn't care as much about
I want to see another movie of this, don't get me wrong, but my problem is that they have two of those things.
Mm-hmm.
They have two of those interesting twists that one is really obvious. It's like Joss Whedon when he's killing characters in movies. He gives you the obvious death and the not obvious death.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave us the obvious twist.
Shepard.
Like the very, very obvious twist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave you the other one, and it just... I wish they had maybe delivered it different. I think they could have done that in a different way and been better. I feel like they were making this movie, and they knew they probably didn't have the highest expectations. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like they really went for it. And I don't think they really... polished the script as much as they could have.
Okay.
Like, I just think this could have been a better movie.
In the movie's defense, the part that you're talking about, it is pretty small at the end.
Yeah.
Like, if you'd had to really pee at the end of the movie, you'd have missed it.
Yeah, it's very, very small. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Elliot, keep talking. Do your final thoughts.
Even though I've been relatively critical, I really like this movie. I think Ben Affleck is great in it. He does something that's very hard to do, especially in modern day and age. And maybe I'm going to read like 10 think pieces on this tomorrow, but I feel like he did a very respectful portrayal of a person with a different person. Not he wasn't trying to play it up for laughs too much. He was just trying to show what it was. I thought Anna Kendrick was pretty good. She did her Anna Kendrick from Pitch Perfect sort of thing without singing. J.K. Simmons basically played J.K. Simmons like he always plays J.K. Simmons. I just thought the acting was good. John Bernthal was basically the Punisher.
We didn't even mention John Bernthal.
I really liked him in this.
Yeah. Well, he was in it more, actually.
But that's a good point. The fact that he blended into it until he needed to pop out.
Yeah.
That's what you want from a character like that.
But that was the same thing with J.K. Simmons and Cynthia Ade Robinson. Mm-hmm. They were there to add the little bit of the plot until they were necessary to come up and explain... Yeah. What actually is going on?
So I want to see more by this director, and I want to see like at least one more movie of this accountant because I think it's an interesting character. So for all those reasons, I give it 7 balance sheets out of 10.
Chris Herman.
I really enjoyed the film, and even when I saw like the trailer several months ago, I thought I was actually pretty impressed by it. I thought this would be something really special. I think. Ben Affleck gives a great performance. Again, people, please stop saying he's a terrible actor. He's actually really good. And clearly, he's making the right choice, exception with Batman, but that might not... I've kind of rescinded some of my criticism. It might not all be his fault, obviously. So, But in regards to the rest of the supporting cast, I think John Bernthal was the other person who who stood out to me. Particularly his scenes. I would have liked to have seen him in more, especially because I think John Bernthal has blown up ever since, you know, Daredevil season two.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick. She was okay. She's pretty much playing Anna Kendrick. I would prefer to see her kind of stretch a little bit more, play like a different type of character, hopefully, going forward in different films. My only kind of... Oh, and Jeffrey Tambor is also in this as a very small role. I think he does a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Always great to see him there. But yeah, probably my only big critique with the film is the J.K. Simmons' character and Cynthia Adey Robinson's character. They're pretty much there just for exposition. And if you're going to have them there, at least try to spread their exposition-laden dialogue throughout the rest of the film instead of just like this one key moment where I'm thinking, wow, it just really kind of stopped dead all of a sudden for me, like that last part in the third act. But other than that, again, action's great. And one thing I wanted to bring up, I kept thinking that this was kind of set in either kind of like the John Wick universe. Like, they can do a total... There can be a crossover with this. Because they mentioned that Ben Affleck's character, he works for something called the Institute or the Agency, I forget. Mm-hmm. Which is also, I thought, was a little nod to the... I don't know if everyone's played, like, the Hitman series of video games.
We could get a good Expendables. We could get, a real... What Expendables was supposed to be.
It could,
Jesus, team up.
I can kind of see it. At least let's start small and have the John Wick. I think that'd be...
Yeah, have, you know, the accountant, John Wick, and the Equalizer. Mm-hmm. Just those three.
And then Monkey is their contact.
Go. And then Kojak or somebody comes out of the...
Kojak
is dead.
Just follow me. Somebody like old comes out at like a stinger. You're part of a much bigger world than you think.
Yeah, because everyone, you know, will remember Kojak telling
someone. Well, no, but something like Matlock comes back from the dead. I don't know.
You are the movie executives that everyone hates, Elliot.
Oh, I know I am. No, it's like I saw a movie with Joe a while back.
Yeah,
and he was like, Elliot, you love this movie, don't you? I'm like, yep. You're the reason that I hate movies. Like, yep.
Yeah. So just to give my rating, I'd probably give this 8.5 rolling pins.
Cool.
Ah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No. This is a good movie. I mean, if you're looking to go to the theater and watch a movie, this is the kind of movie you want to go see.
It has
People keep mentioning John Wick because you see this action and it reminds you of something like John Wick. I mean, headshots and all. The one thing that I found unique about this movie is the way it handles humor and the comedy, which you don't really anticipate. And even at the points where it's happening, you're kind of like, this is a strange thing to be laughing at, but this is like genuinely funny.
It's almost the same way that John Wick did it, where you're laughing because they've built him up to such an unstoppable killing machine that anytime anything even mildly starts to get in his way, you start laughing. Because you're like, you're fucking dead, dude.
Well, yeah, the end in this movie... Very funny. Very funny.
Yeah, so I liked it. You're probably going to dig it if you go see it. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 pocket protectors.
I will say as well, I like the fact that even though you're regularly laughing at stuff Affleck is saying, you're never laughing at him.
Yes.
Ever. You're always laughing with him because it makes you so quickly grow to like him. Mm-hmm. A character who at first is introduced almost as somebody who would be a villain in any other action film.
It's a Bond villain.
Yeah.
He would definitely be a Bond henchman.
And then as it goes along, you're like, this guy actually has got so many more levels than we saw at first. He's got so much more of an agenda than we saw at first and has a really specific code of ethics, which is not uncommon among autistic people as well. You almost love him for his autism by the end of this film. And it's, I mean, we're essentially watching a superhero film here. Yeah. I mean, they've made autism a superpower. I mean, he can't miss a shot. He's Deadshot, basically. He literally cannot miss a shot. Not, I don't think once in this whole film does he miss a shot. And it's a headshot every single time. Yep. You know, you're like, okay, it's that level of, this guy is a superhero badass and I love him. I just want to hug him, except he'd recoil because he like doesn't that. Like no. being
but,
touched.
But it goes better because instead of just relying on that, you know, autism as a superpower, it's because like his dad was in PsyOps and he had such intense training.
Yeah.
And like he just internalized that shit, but so they have an out for that too.
Well, I think it's like even with that training, it wouldn't have been as effective as it was for him if he wasn't autistic.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what still yeah. it's all part of that super autism.
But by telling you, they make it better. Like they make it, they make you believe it.
Man, maybe this will finally make people just start giving vaccines to their kids again. Okay. It's like, how do I want my kid to grow up like Ben Affleck?
That was the worst joke I've ever heard on this podcast.
Oh, well, it leads me to say this though. Fuck Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah,
and everybody who caused fucking measles and shit to come back.
The one thing that made me sad here at all was that Jeffrey Tambor's in this, and then he's barely in it at all. He's just there to have a brief but important role in the life and the flashbacks of our main character. But you're still... It's Jeffrey Tambor. He's so talented.
I thought
so
I was wonderful. Watching Arrested Development.
I still love that thing. It's too bad Ron Howard is the narrator from Arrested Development. Can't moderate the debate. I never said that. He did.
There's always guns in the banana stand.
Yeah. I actually really loved this film. I'm not even go so far as put it in my favorites of the year. Certainly one of my favorite of the more straight... Ford films, you know, there's very little to criticize here for me. Even the stuff you guys are mentioning, I see what you're talking about, but I just don't agree. Mm-hmm. I think it works for me in that context. In fact, I think the script is an incredibly tight as a drum piece of work here that maybe even as some people are going to say, there's almost too much. But I think a lot of that has to do because you're watching an action film and you don't expect this much plot in an action film. Mm. I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses for anybody else. All I know is it resonated with me in a huge way. I really loved the shit out of this, and I give it 9 out of 10 missing puzzle pieces.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you guys watch this movie and go, hey, maybe Batman wouldn't be lame with a gun? Like, maybe Batman with a gun could be cool.
I did not do that.
Like John Wick? John Wick?
Shannon Cass is... I would like to see Ben Affleck as Deadshot. You know, reboot the universe.
I love it. Somebody actually gave me shit for the Batman things. Like, Batman shouldn't kill. It's like, well, it didn't bother you that Wonder Woman kills. I'm like, because Wonder Woman has always killed. Did you not understand the most basic thing of this is inherent to Batman's character? Yeah. That is inherent to Wonder Woman's character. Yeah, you ruin a character if you take away their whole... let's make Peter Parker not a nerd. That'll make better Spider-Man movies.
Like a skateboard.